It's time for Money Matters with Doug and Linda Lewis. Doug is a certified financial planner, providing you with a personal financial hotline to answer your questions about tax planning, investments, retirement planning, estate planning, and education planning. Doug and Linda are the owners of Lewis Financial Management, a registered investment advisory firm in Raleigh, providing financial and investment services since 1983. Doug and Linda will be answering your questions on WPTF phone lines anytime during the next hour. Call 919-860-9783. That's 919-860-9783 to become part of tonight's show.
Hello there, North Carolina. This is Doug Lewis, Certified Financial Planner, once again welcoming you to Money Matters with Doug and Linda Lewis. Money Matters with Doug and Linda has been providing you with a personal financial hotline for all of your questions about investments, estate planning, tax planning, money management, and retirement planning for over 20 years. And again, with me as usual tonight is my wife, Linda, who works with me in our firm, Lewis Financial Management.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. Doug and I are the owners of Lewis Financial Management, a registered investment advisory firm in Raleigh, providing investment in financial advice since 1983.
For over 20 years,
we've been answering your questions on the WPTF phone lines. They are your questions and our answers.
So sit back and enjoy, or if you're free, call us tonight on the open lines. We'll take your calls anytime during the next hour. You're free to call in and ask any financial question about your own personal financial planning. Call us at 860-9783, that's 860-WPTF. Or you can call us toll-free long distance at 1-800-662-7979.
Well, financial planning is everyone's business, and still for most folks, money matters are just a big puzzle. Folks have questions about planning for retirement, planning for a child's college education. They don't know the difference between financial planning and money management. They want to know a lot these days. They want to know what's a mutual fund, what's a limited partnership, what's a REIT, what's a will, what's a living will. And yes, it really can confuse you, but you're not alone. Because in a world crowded with new investments, changing tax laws, rapidly evolving insurance products, and volatile economic cycles, more and more people are looking for clear direction in their financial lives. And yet, unfortunately, the busier and the more successful they are, the less time they have to sort out their financial affairs. And people are asking, is there any solution?
Well, yes, Doug, there certainly is a solution. Out of this increasingly complicated financial environment has come a new breed of professionals that are trying to solve people's money puzzles. And that's the Certified Financial Planner.
It's the Certified Financial Planner who offers something that people don't get from the traditional stockbroker, money manager, accountant, insurance agent, or bank trust officer. And that's a way to consolidate all aspects of people's financial affairs into one financial plan. It's the Certified Financial Planner who knows how to pull together all six areas of a client's financial life.
Doug, I think for many people, the first area of financial planning is cash flow planning, with questions about their emergency fund, their mortgage, their credit cards, and reducing their debt.
Well, yes, Linda, and yet for many people, the second area of financial planning is retirement planning. Those who are working want to know how to compute what they'll need to live on during retirement and how much they should be saving for retirement. They want to know what investments they should choose from the choices in their company's 401k plan. Others are retiring and have received a lump sum payout option from their company's retirement plan, and they want to know, should they take it? And if so, how should they invest it?
Well, Doug, the third area of financial planning that must be dealt with is estate planning. For most people, over their working years, their estate has grown. How can they reduce their estate taxes? And they wonder, are their simple wills sufficient, or maybe they should be considering the complicated world of trusts?
If that's the third area, Linda, the fourth area of financial planning cannot be overlooked. This is tax planning. People are interested in both tax reduction strategies and tax reduction investments, home mortgage interest, charitable giving, tax shelters, tax-free bonds, questions about capital gains taxes, estate taxes, gift taxes, and how to sell real estate tax-free using trusts. What a confusion.
Well, Doug, we can't forget the fifth area of financial planning, which is insurance planning. How much life insurance does a family really need? Do they have too little insurance or maybe too much insurance? Should they have whole life, term, or universal? Should they have long-term nursing care coverage?
You're right, Lynn. And of course, the sixth and most important area of financial planning is investment planning. Here, the questions never stop. What's the best way to diversify my investments? Is now a safe time to invest in stocks? What about bonds? What kind of stock mutual funds? Bond mutual funds, equipment leasing partnerships, REITs, CDs, gold, annuities.
So, Doug, it seems that at last it's time for people to understand that a certified financial planner is really the only one who can tie together all six parts of their financial puzzle. And to you out there listening, if you've got a question on your mind about cash flow planning, retirement planning, estate planning, tax planning, insurance, or investments, call us now on the open lines and we'll answer your financial planning questions. Those numbers to call are 860-9783. That's 860-WPTF. Out of towners, call us toll free at 1-800-662-7979. And if you just want to sit back and listen to the callers through the years, welcome to the show.
Investments offered through HBEC Inc. Investment advice through Lewis Financial Management. Lewis Financial Management and HBEC Inc. are not related entities.
Well, good evening, North Carolina. Welcome to the show, and thanks for joining us once again on Money Matters. And Doug, at the end of the week, we had some really exciting news in the market, didn't we?
You know, Linda, I think it's almost ironic that with all of the negative news that keeps happening, the best thing that happened this past week was the market itself. The market went over 13,000. We've had over 400-point rise in the market. And I think what we're really seeing is the beginning of more and more confidence that things will work out. The investing public is waiting, looking for good signs, and it's going to continue to be very volatile, obviously. But I was not really
surprised.
I really wasn't. I wasn't that surprised to see, because it's like the market's been waiting. The investors have been waiting for some sort of good news, either from overseas or locally here in the U.S. So, yeah, it was a good week.
Yes, it certainly was a good week. And even though, as I agree with you, there is a lot of news locally and internationally, and yet things are looking up within the financial markets.
That's true.
Well, Doug, you know, here a new week is upon us, and there's probably more discourse with regard to the Duke Progress merger or fiasco.
Yeah, I think fiasco is a really good word. Yeah, I think it's a really good word, the fiasco, and I'm surprised so few people are calling our office for advice, because we have had a few, but morale is very low. I personally think things are going to get worse at Progress Energy / Duke, because there's a lot of distrust out there. And that means you shouldn't be sitting on top of a lot of Duke stock, Progress Energy stock, or your job, or just trusting that everything is going to work out fine. If you haven't got your financial house in order now, you definitely need to call us. Come see us and get some professional help, because it's your financial future that's at stake. And we're hearing a lot of strange types of low morale and worry from our clients that are still working there or have already received their packet to leave.
Yeah, recently one of our Progress Energy clients was in the office, and you know, on the one hand, our hearts do go out to all the folks at Progress Energy and at Duke Energy, because these are hardworking North Carolinians and people that are working for both companies that have become one company.
Yeah, I think it's easy to feel like you're stuck in a tar baby. You know what I mean? This isn't your fault, this mess that's happened. So why are you all tangled up in it? But everybody is tangled up in it, and I think it's going to get worse.
And I hope that there'll be some some resolution in the near future. And if any of you that are listening tonight happen to be employees of Duke Energy, Duke Progress Energy, and if you have questions about your situation, or if you're considering retiring or separating from the company, write down your questions and work with a certified financial planner. If not us, call someone else or whoever you're using and make sure that you get your questions answered so that you can plan for your future, your needs right now, and for financial independence for when the day you separate. Doug, also, I appreciate what you said about getting your financial house in order.
Mm-hmm.
Develop that a little bit more.
Well, I'm thinking of a longtime listener who came to see us recently. And this listener had been listening, he said, for about, I think it was 7 or 8 years now. And he finally came to see us. And this was in the last couple of weeks. And I took a look at his world, his and his wife's world, and I realized the house is not in order at all. Tax planning is not in order. No tax planning. Investment planning. Investments are a mess. Cash flow planning. How are we going to live? I'm getting ready to retire. Insurance planning. And then he was really confused about trust, thinking getting irrevocable trust mixed up with revocable trust, and he was just all confused. So I spent a few hours working with him and his wife on how to approach getting your financial house in order. And then over the weekend, he told me he was so bothered by all the numbers. He just couldn't go to sleep and everything. He was bothered by numbers and numbers and numbers. And so a lot of people, when they start seeing that there is a way to get your financial house in order, they freeze. They just freeze up and they don't know what to do and everything instead of proceeding. That situation wasn't hard. It was very easy to see how all the pieces could come in place. But a lot of people are fearful of change, even if change is getting their financial house in order. And so when I say getting your financial house in order, Linda, I mean getting your taxes in order, not just the taxes that you owe, but tax planning for this coming year, getting your retirement portfolio in place. Do you have the right investments in your 401k? I would say 99 out of 100 people I see have the wrong selection inside their retirement portfolio. Cash flow planning. How are we going to go ahead and live?
What are your living expenses?
What are your living expenses? So few people realize just what it costs to support them.
And a lot of folks that are living comfortably, you know, they spend a lot on their kids and their grandkids, and they don't look at what are our expenses.
So getting your house in order financially to a financial planner such as myself means seeing each of the modules in your life and seeing if they are proper, if they're allocated proper, if they're taken care of properly, and if so, then go on. If not, let's just get it done. And that's what I'm saying.
Very good. You're listening to Money Matters with Doug and Linda Lewis on News Radio 680 WPTF. And if you've got a question about your situation, if you're planning for retirement, if you've got a new family or planning to buy a new house, or maybe planning to sell your house that you've lived in and downsizing, give us a call on the open line. Our number to call is 919-860-WPTF. That's 919-860-9783.
Well, Ralph, this is Doug Lewis, sir. Certified financial planner. How can I help you this evening?
I have some property out of state. It consists of about 8 acres, a house, and a trailer that my children are currently residing in. I'd like to know how I could pass that on most economically to my children.
Well, how old are you, Ralph?
I'm 55.
55 years old. You're married?
Yes, I am.
What's the value of the combined estate that you and your wife have?
Maybe $900,000.
All right. And the property in that's out of state?
The property in Pennsylvania is valued somewhere between $250,000 and $300,000.
And what is the cost that you paid for that property, Ralph? That's called the cost basis.
The the accumulated cost over the period of time we've owned it with the improvements and everything that's on it probably is somewhere around $190,000 to $200,000 maybe.
All right, let's take a look at this then. First of all, what type of estate planning have you and your wife already done?
Very little, really. I think what we're talking about, though, is how do we transfer it now, not after we're deceased.
Well, if you just want to transfer, you just switch the title over. That's no big deal. But there are ramifications you need to be aware of.
Okay, that's what I'm after.
And the question is, are you concerned about estate taxes or capital gains taxes?
Probably capital gains taxes and loading them into something they can't afford to handle at this time.
Well, if you just give them the property by transferring the title over to them, then the cost basis of $190,000 now belongs to them. And if they turn around and sell it, and they sell it for $250,000, then they will have a $60,000 capital gain, and maybe they'll pay about $25,000 in taxes.
They should have that problem.
On the other hand, if they inherit it, then there is a step-up in basis, and they can sell it with no capital gains tax.
So there isn't really anything that keeps me from just gifting that property to the kids.
Well, the gifting is limited by the estate taxes.
Okay.
However, you could also go ahead and give them the entire amount and still have no gift taxes. But at the time of your death, then they would have used some of the estate tax credits.
I see.
So the first issue is whether you're concerned about the estate taxes or not. Now, there is one other way that it can be done to avoid both gift taxes and estate taxes. In the event they wanted to sell the property, then we would do it through a charitable trust during your lifetime, and there is no capital gains issue at that time.
I see.
Why do you want to give it to them now, then?
Well, I guess it's, I really don't want to be tied into the state property anymore, and they really can't afford to go out and get a mortgage to buy the property, so it seemed the best way to take care of them.
I mean, why not just let them live in it and not have to use up any? And then at least when they inherit it, the cost basis will be stepped all the way up to the value.
I see.
Then you're not using any of the estate tax credit, and you're also at the same time not using you're helping them with the capital gains issue.
That sounds reasonable.
You know, if fortunately you live another 20 years or 30 years, then all of that appreciation gets stepped up at the time that they inherit it, and then they can turn around and sell it the next day and pay no taxes.
I see. That sounds like the right way to be.
Yeah. If you're not worried about mortgage or ownership, I would go ahead and let them live in it.
I see. Ralph, well, that's what we've been doing. Yes, ma'am.
One of the things that might help is, you know, the questions that you and your wife have about your situation, it would be helpful if you would jot them down. And then when you go to use a financial planner or an advisor that can help you sort all this out and get it all squared away so that everything's square, so that, you know, if something should happen, that you and your wife have got everything in order.
Yeah, that
for
way
the
we
future.
Would have it written down so that the rest of the family would know about it too.
Right, right. I mean, just, you know, the specific questions that you have, you and your wife, write them down, and then when you go to use an advisor, you'll have some of those issues put down on paper.
I appreciate your help.
And if you'd like any more information, our number in Raleigh is 8727000.
Yes, ma'am.
And I'll be happy to send you some information.
Thank you kindly.
All right. Bye-bye. Thanks for calling.
Well, Doug, that was a very interesting call, wasn't it?
Yeah. Ralph's question is, a lot of people have the same sort of question, do I give property away or not? And how does it affect me on my taxes and so on? Yes.
So if a person has rental property and it's owned jointly, and then if someone dies, what happens to the basis?
Yeah, that makes it even trickier, Linda. If there's a rental property, let's use some numbers as an example.
Okay.
Let's say you paid $100,000 for it.
Right.
It's now worth $150,000.
Mm-hmm.
But you've been depreciating it over a number of years. So now there's no basis left. It's all depreciated.
Right.
Okay. If it's owned jointly, then if one of the two dies, then the one who survives, the spouse, she gets the other half
obviously, because it was owned jointly.
Right.
The basis on half of it, meaning his basis, gets a step up, which means it's all right back up to the current value, which is fine, $75,000 because it's worth $150,000. But her half does not. And so now she owns the property, but the basis didn't get totally stepped up. Only half of it did. If she then turns around and sells it, then she will pay capital gains tax on her 50% half.
50% on her half.
Right, right. And if she gives it away to her kids, it's going to be the same thing. She's giving away the property. The half that got stepped up in its basis goes with that stepped up basis. But the kids who she gave it to, they get it. But her reduced basis, which was down to zero, goes over to them. So it's a little trickier. And we have had cases, a number of times I've had cases where we know that one of the two of them is terminally ill. And there's a little tax planning that can be done there. And that's transferring the ownership to the one who is terminally ill. That way, all of the basis is over there. And at his death, then it goes back to her with a full step up in basis.
So if let's say that this individual has a lot of real estate,
mm-hmm.
and we know that the spouse, her husband, is terminally ill.
Mm-hmm.
So then they would get it all put in his name if it was owned jointly.
Sometimes it makes a lot of sense to do exactly that, to let it, even if it's not owned jointly. Let's say that she owns some.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
She's basically giving to him. Her property.
Correct.
And with that, she's giving the basis.
So at his death,
there's a step up in basis.
Step up in basis. So all the
she
property,
inherits it, and she could sell it tax-free.
Now, that's the real...
It's part of pre-mortem planning. Sometimes it works, and sometimes it's not suitable. But yeah, there's a lot of things. And we have a couple of cases of clients right now that have gotten notice that they do have a terminal type of... condition. Yeah.
So if you're out there listening and you've got a question about your real estate or estate planning, taxes, future and present needs, give us a call. You're listening to Money Matters on News Radio 680 WPTF. You're listening to Doug and Linda on Money Matters, and call us on the open line. That number to call is 919-860-9783. That's 919-860-WPTF.
Well, then let's take Tom's call. Tom, this is Doug Lewis, certified financial planner. How can I help you?
Hi, guys. I listen to your show. I drive through the state occasionally. I listen to you guys on Sundays on occasion.
Oh, thank you, Tom.
A simple question, I think, and I appreciate the information for that. It's really very helpful. A simple question. I've got about $140,000 traditional IRA that's with a bank, which will remain unnamed, that I am just not pleased with the way they're managing the account. I'm very comfortable retirement-wise in my pension. I don't need the money. I don't intend to use it until past 70, and even then I may not need it. But I want to just roll over the money into one existing Roth IRA and pay a lot less fees. It's a fee-based account, and right now they're just milking me for the fees. And really, the account's not growing very much. And I just want some advice, if it's possible to do that, to roll the whole $140,000 without what the tax implications are here from a traditional to a Roth.
So if I understand correctly, Tom, your IRA right now is worth $140,000.
Yes, it is. And I have no real need for the money now, so it's not, that I'm...
I'm sorry, I've got a really bad connection.
I'm not in any need for the money right now. I don't intend to even tap it until I have to. Right.
How old are you, Tom?
68.
Okay.
Well, first of all, let me help you think it through. First of all, there is no such thing technically as rolling over from an IRA to a Roth IRA.
Okay.
What you are doing actually is you take the money out of your IRA.
Okay.
You pay the tax, which would be maybe a third of that $140,000. So you'll pay maybe $50,000 or $40,000 in taxes, okay. And then you'd put the $100,000 into a Roth. In my opinion, that would be a very foolish thing to do.
Okay.
The IRS loves it when you do that, but I don't see any reason to do so because at your age, a Roth is unsuitable. We never recommend Roth IRAs for anyone over 40 years old.
Yeah, because the Roth I got's got $250,000 in it.
Well, let me ask you this.
It's done very well. It's been a great.
What are the investments in the IRA?
The one that I'm trying to get rid of are just common mutual. But it's a collection of about 10 or 12 mutual funds that's managed by this bank. But essentially what they're doing, by the time they charge me my quarterly fees, I'm not making anything. It's just sitting still. It's not
well, what else? Okay, so you've got $250 in the Roth IRA.
Yeah, that's,
and then you've got 140 in a regular IRA.
Right. And I'm just wanting to get it out of this bank because
Yeah, well, I agree. No, I the bank should not be involved at all in any of the investments in your IRA. That's one of the mistakes that I see a lot of people making. They forget that the bank is the custodian of the IRA. We call it the chicken house, but not the chicken. The investment is the chicken. But
right.
The bank simply reports to the Internal Revenue Service that you are not cheating. But they should not be involved in the investment because banks know nothing about investments.
Right.
I mean, they're the worst people, bankers, as investment advisors. They have no training in investments. They're trained as bankers, and they're very good. But that doesn't mean that that's the only choice. There are other custodians out there that we use in our firm. We search the nation for independent custodians that will let you roll your money from your IRA over to an independent custodian IRA that has no products to sell. And then together, the client and myself build the investment portfolio right there. And that's what I would say you should do.
Yeah, because I always help you talk into a fee-based management system. And, when they take the percentage out of every quarter, and I look at what they're making.
Yeah, no. Yeah, that's a shell game. That's a real, that's really bad. First of all, that's money management. And the banks are really good at that. You know, Sandy Wheels.
Not just banks.
Well, that's true. That's true. A lot of people do the money management game where they're saying, well, for 1%, we'll go ahead and handle your money for you. But that's not the way to approach it. You should approach it from a very different viewpoint where you're actively involved in the selection of the investments. You build the portfolio with the help of a certified financial planner. And that's what we do. You'd be more than welcome to call my office during the week, or when you get off the air tonight, you can call my office now and leave the phone number on the answering machine, and then from there, we could schedule a time to get together and show you what I think is the proper way.
I appreciate that. That's what I'll do then.
Yeah, and also, go take a look at our website. Our website is called DougAndLinda.com.
Okay.
DougAndLinda.com, and you can sort of see a little more of how we approach things, but... you should not be under the constraints of a bank using a money management program because,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. I appreciate the information, and I'll get on the website and make contact with you.
All right. Thank you, Tom. And any other questions you have, just write them down, and then we'll be happy to send you some information, and we look forward to hearing from you.
Appreciate it very much. Thank you.
All right. Have a great week. You too. Bye-bye. You're listening to Money Matters with Doug and Linda Lewis on News Radio 680 WPTF. And thanks for joining us this evening. We hope you're enjoying the lovely weather we're having out there. What wild weather we had last night.
That was the funniest thing in the world, Linda. I was sitting home. You're visiting some friends. You call me screaming.
No, I wasn't screaming, but I was asking you to pray because it was treacherous
pretty
driving
frantic.
Out there.
And I go stand out on the porch, and I don't see any bad weather, no rain or anything. 15 minutes later, it hit. It hit like
yeah,
a...
Yeah, I was, traveling down Capitol Boulevard after visiting a young couple with their new baby and their family, et cetera. And I had just left their house, and it was like a lightning show. And then it started raining torrentially, and it was like fireworks. But anyway, I'm glad I got home safe. Well, Doug, What about what's new in the world of investment planning?
Well, you know, it's interesting, Lynn, because when we talk about the market going over 13,000 this past week, we're really talking about the stock market. But many, many investors are looking at something other than stocks. They're looking for yield. They're looking for income. And there was a really interesting article in the Wall Street Journal on junk bonds. And junk bonds are, that's a slang term for high yield bonds. These are the bonds that are paying the highest yields that are out there. And the article was pointing to the fact that there's been a huge surge of investor interest and investors moving money into the high yield bonds, which is true. Absolutely true. The article then went ahead to warn that these high yield bonds are extremely volatile. The high yield bond, I think it said the index was up 8% so far this year, something like that. But the warning was that they're extremely volatile. What I liked about the article was the warning that don't flee high yield bonds. Don't flee high yield bond funds. But look for actively managed mutual funds of high yield bonds, because a bond may be paying 6 or 7% interest. The manager of that bond might have bought it at a 30% discount, so he's got something like a 10% yield on it, and he might be just doing a great job. That might be one of 100 bonds in his portfolio, and you own part of that portfolio because you're a mutual fund investor. But if you're into an ETF or a non-managed fund, then there's no real watching to see, oh, when should we get rid of this bond if it looks like the company behind the bond is in trouble. An actively managed fund, and this was the advice of the article, which I thoroughly agreed with, if you're going to be in high-yield bonds, and nothing wrong with high-yield bonds, I like the high-yield bond market. I've been talking about the high-yield bonds for probably 2 years now. But don't do it on your own. Don't buy junk bonds on your own. Don't buy junk bond ETFs. Don't buy unmanaged funds, because you need a skillful manager who knows when to unload and buy another one. So I thought that was a very good article. I thought it was very good advice. Go for actively managed high-yield bond funds. And there's some good yields out there. There are.
I like two things that you said. I like that you said, go for actively managed high-yield bonds. And I like that you said you need skillful managers.
Right.
There are too many people out there trying to do it on their own. And what are they making?
Yeah, it's unfortunate because we're
mistakes.
In the radio. Well, we're on the radio, and it's unfortunate that there are some of our peers that have radio shows that sort of make it sound as if, you know, there's a magical formula that they can teach you how you can do it on your own and you can win. Unfortunately, that's like the radio show that says, we'll teach you how to do your own brain surgery on yourself and you can remove your own tumor. It doesn't work that way. You need to have actively managed funds with managers who have a track record that you can watch over the last 15 years, because I started to say it's a dangerous world out there. It is dangerous if you do it yourself. It's not so dangerous if you know how to do it with the right managers.
You're listening to Money Matters with Doug and Linda Lewis on News Radio 680 WPTF. And if you've got questions, call us at the office at Lewis Financial Management. Our number in Raleigh is 919-872-7000. That's 919-USA-7000. And if you'd like to join us on the show right now, call us with your questions and you can, discuss whatever's on your mind about your portfolio, your investments, pre-retirement planning, college funding, or estate planning. The number to call is 919-860-WPTF. That's 919-860-9783. And visit our website, DougAndLinda.com or LFMAdvisor.com.
I like DougAndLinda.com.
Yeah, I like Doug and Linda too.
Well, Doug, what's new in the world of investment planning?
Well, you know, Lynn, I think the big question about a lot of people with regard to their mutual funds is,
what about the mutual fund personality? You know, not many people realize that every mutual fund has its own personality. In other words, it's characterized primarily by its investment objectives, and they're called the mutual fund type, and the policies that it follows towards achieving those objectives. Now, it may be the stodgy personality of a government bond fund that holds primarily super safe treasury bonds for income, or it could be the flashy personality of an aggressive growth fund, which is mainly to increase share price by buying high-rising, fast-moving companies. But sometimes a mutual fund's personality, Lynn, is not what the fund shareholder initially thought it was, and in some cases, the fund's personality has changed over time. Having a misleading personality doesn't necessarily mean that a mutual fund is going to perform badly, on the other hand. On the contrary, one top-performing mutual fund, which was characterized as a growth and income fund, appeared to achieve its success by emphasizing growth, not income. The income portion was very low for conservative investors who bought the fund primarily for steady income and didn't really want growth. So the question of the personality is very important.
And typically, a fund's personality is described in its prospectus. It may say that it seeks capital appreciation or current income with low volatility of principal. And in turn, the fund rating services and financial publications classify funds in specific categories, such as aggressive growth or international, based on the prospectus. Right, Doug?
Right. The prospectus, in addition, can state what the minimum and the maximum percentages of a particular type of investment, like, you know, junk bonds or aggressive stocks, or two-thirds at least will be invested in government securities. The guidelines, however, may allow a lot of leeway. Two funds investing in the same ratio, for example, 60% stocks and 40% bonds, could be still called balanced funds. But while one fund focuses on conservative blue chips and high-quality bonds, the other fund could be betting on more speculative small companies and higher-risk junk bonds. In fact, one recent analysis of mutual fund portfolios showed that over half of the funds it analyzed were misclassified.
So, Doug, how can you tell if a fund truly matches its name or its classification? What exactly are the clues that it may be different than you thought it was?
Well, without sounding too self-seeking, it certainly helps to go see a certified financial planner. But if you could do it on your own, read the prospectus carefully. Find out, does it give the fund manager a narrow or a wide latitude in what he or she can invest in? The wider the latitude, the greater the chance that the performance and the volatility can deviate from your expectations. So the first thing is, read the prospectus.
Secondly, you want to pay particular attention to the annual and the semi-annual reports to see if what the fund actually buys matches its classification and its character, right?
Yeah, the annual reports are very good because that way you can really get a picture of how close the annual report is to the prospectus. Now, if the fund's returns are unusually higher or lower than the average returns for similar funds in its category, then that could be a sign that the fund has changed category or belongs in another category. And I guess the last thing is to follow the fund carefully after a change in fund managers. If your fund has changed its manager or the manager has left, then you got to watch that real, real careful. And very often, a new manager comes in and he just wants to go ahead and try it his way or her way, and you may end up with a very different personality.
Well, let's look at what are some of the types of fund personalities that are out there, the different types of funds, Doug.
Okay, well, right away at the top of the risk scale and the top of the return potential, you have your aggressive growth funds. You also have your international funds. Then you have your growth funds, which are different from aggressive growth. Then you have your precious metals. And then you have your growth and income funds, which I believe should be the base of your portfolio. Then when you get into the bond category, you have your high-yield corporate bonds, which are called junk bonds, and they can be great or they can be lousy depending on which one you're in. Just the fact that it's a junk bond fund doesn't mean it's a bad one, but the category is called high-yield corporate bond category. And then you have your balanced funds, and then you have your equity income funds, and then you have your fixed income funds, and then there's a category called U.S. government bond funds. So those are the major fund categories, or some of the major fund categories, and emerging markets category, personality there. Watch out if your mutual fund may have changed.
Okay, very good. If you'd like any further information, call me at the office in Raleigh. That number is 919-872-7000. That's 919-USA-7000.
Let's take a call.
Margaret, this is Doug Lewis, Certified Financial Planner. How can I help you?
I was asking the question. We are interested in finding out if you can be the manager of your trust and then direct the proceeds of it to go to your children who might need assistance.
Tell me a little bit about your situation, Margaret. How old are you?
Well, we're at a perfect age. We're both retired.
Okay.
Yay!
You're in your 60s?
Well, beyond that.
You're in your 70s?
Yes.
Okay, you're in your 70s, and that's important to understand the age because of the 664 trust.
All right.
The second thing I need to know is, what are your income sources right now, the total dollars that you have on regular income?
About $191,000.
All right, and does that...
Last year.
Yes, now does that meet all of your living expense needs?
Yes.
Okay, so your expenses are less than $191,000.
Yes.
Okay, very good. Now, let's take a look at what might be suitable for the 664 Trust. First of all, how much do you have in non-retirement investments? That would be stocks, bonds, mutual funds, all...
CDs, etc.
CDs, well, all everything that's not in a retirement account.
Well, everything's retirement.
Okay, so you have no investments that are not in retirement plans.
Well, we do have stocks and bonds.
Right. About how much is that?
$2.5 million.
All right. About $2.5 million, and that's in non-retirement. That's not in IRAs or 401ks. That's not in an IRA account,
right?
Not
in an IRA. It's
okay.
A 403B.
It is in a 403B?
Yes.
Okay. All right. It's important to understand nothing in a 403B can go into a charitable trust.
Oh, you can't put it in a charitable trust. And 664.
That's right. The 664 okay. Trust, you can only put things into it that are not part of a 403B, a 401K, an IRA, a pension, a profit sharing, and so forth. Now, let me ask you, do you have any investments that are not in your 403B?
Oh, yes.
How much do you have there?
Somewhere around $1.5 million.
All right. Now, that $1.5 million, if that is investment money that has a tax for capital gain on it, yes, that can go into a 664 trust, and it can go ahead and be sold inside the trust and avoid all capital gains taxes, pay no taxes, and then you are the manager of that trust. Yes, you are. It's called the trustee, and you pay yourself and your husband a lifetime income. Yes, you do, just as if it's a pension. And your question then is, if I'm paying myself and I pay no taxes on any of the sales of any of the things in this trust, can I direct some of it to my children?
Yeah.
And the answer to that question is yes, but no longer than 20 years after your life.
We have children who have to have a conservator.
Then you have a disability trust problem.
Yes, indeed.
So you have disabled children?
Yes, we
well,
do.
Well, this can be tied to that need very well. There are ways we can do that. And the way you do that, you have a disability trust because your children probably are qualifying to get disability income, correct?
Oh, yeah.
You want to make sure that no money ends up directly in their hands.
Oh, that couldn't be. That's right.
That's right. It's got to be funneled into the disability trust.
Mm-hmm.
So you could tie together the charitable 664 trust and insurance proceeds, and you can move everything through your channels to end up after you and your husband both pass away into the disability trust. Yes, it can be worked out. If you'd like more information on how to do this, if you call my office number is
872-7000.
All right.
That's USA 7000.
USA 7000.
Yes, ma'am.
That's in Raleigh.
That's in Raleigh.
So the area code's 919.
Oh, Raleigh. All right.
Yes. Right.
Yeah, write down your questions, Margaret, and if you'll call the office, you know, we can take down some information, and we can also send you some information.
All right.
Especially because you've got a special situation with the children.
Yes, we do.
And you'd want to make sure that everything's in order to be
advantage
to them.
Go ahead.
Let me ask you a question. How much do you charge per hour?
Well, I don't like to announce hourly rates on the air because it's not proper. But
I call you, you will tell me.
Yes, ma'am. Of course. The problem people get into is they try to get free advice from a salesperson instead of looking for advisors. But the investment advisor is one who, by law, must put your interests first and tell you what, according to his knowledge and wisdom, is able to work best for you. But you have a sophisticated situation or a complicated situation that needs sophisticated advice. And I think you deserve to see a registered investment advisor, whether it be us or someone else. It doesn't matter to me, but it can be done. You can achieve your objectives if you do it right. And the 664 Trust might play into the disability trust scenario.
Yes, well, we have to make arrangements.
Yes, ma'am. Just give us a call. And we enjoyed your call this afternoon.
Well, thank you very much. I certainly appreciate your help.
Okay.
And, you'll be hearing from us.
All right. Very good.
Take care,
Margaret.
And you too.
Have a wonderful week.
Thank you very much.
Take care now. Bye-bye.
That was really a great call from the archives, wasn't it?
It was. I wonder what year that was, Linda. I don't think Margaret ever called the office and came.
I think she did.
Did she really? Mm-hmm. Did I meet with her?
I don't believe so. Well,
I don't remember.
I do know that there are some folks that had disabled children.
Yeah, but I don't think that. But here's my point. My point is that was a great strategy. Her question was, can you use the charitable trust to help her children, which we found out either child or children, are disabled? And the answer is yes. Now, if she had $2.5 million already in her 403B, she and her husband didn't need any income from this personal portfolio of $1.5 million, did she?
No, and they had adequate income because...
So therefore, what she could do, which is what I recommended at that time on the air, she could create the Section 664 Charitable Trust, give the whole portfolio to the Charitable Trust, sell it, and now it's all there with no tax on it. On the sale, there's been nothing. Restructure it to go ahead and pay out. But since she and her husband didn't need the money to live in, that entire amount could be funding over to the Disability Trust. And it would continue until for the lifetime of Margaret and her husband.
Either that, or it could be.
It could have gone longer.
To the personal portfolio. Oh wait.
I'm saying take the personal portfolio, move it into a charitable trust, and then have the charitable trust pay out to the disability trust to fund for the disabled child.
Yeah, I don't remember what the assets were in that personal portfolio.
She said $1.5 million.
Right, but didn't she say that she had the assets that were in the 403B?
That was $2.5 million. That was different from that.
Right.
So, but the personal portfolio
was that stocks and bonds, or
I think it was. But I really like the idea of tying the two together when you have the issue of a disabled child that you want to go ahead and fund with income, but not assets.
And of course, this is a very sophisticated strategy, so it's not something you'd want to do on your own. You need to work with a competent estate planning attorney as well as a certified financial planner that can assist you each step of the way, right?
Mm-hmm.
A very complicated strategy, but a win-win situation for those that have need of it.
Yeah, we've got...
And part of it... what is one major reason for a charitable trust?
Well, the main benefit of the charitable trust, there's about three or four benefits, but the main benefit is, or the initial benefit, is the matter of selling something and paying no tax on sale. So if you have something that is not producing income, very often we see farmers with property, Okay, we've also seen hog farms. We've seen every kind of non-producing, but they want to go ahead and sell it and not pay the tax on it. So that's the first thing. All right. Then the second benefit is that it produces a lifetime income to the owner himself. So you're really moving money from one pocket to the other and not paying tax.
The income is the bonus.
It becomes, technically, before the IRS, it's called a split interest gift. You're making a gift of something to a trust, and you're saying, however, I want to keep the income, and I'll give the principal to a nonprofit after my wife and I
pass away.
So it's a split interest gift. Then you have other benefits. You have a tax deduction this year, even though the charity isn't going to get it for maybe 20 years. You have liability protection, lawsuit protection. Pretty hard for someone to sue against a charitable trust when the beneficiary is going to be, you know, the Boy Scouts or Duke University or something like that. You know, to go against a charity is hard. It scares away a lot of contentious lawyers. So there's all kinds of reasons for setting up the 664 trust. And the bottom line is, it's a win-win for the one who sets it up because he gets an income.
It is certainly an invaluable tool for those that are in need of selling an appreciated asset, whether it's stock or real estate or, you know, some other asset that has appreciated in its value. And so facing a large amount of taxes, it's a wonderful strategy that will assist people out there that have need of it. You're listening to Money Matters with Doug and Linda Lewis on News Radio 680 WPTF. If you've got questions and you would like us to provide more information about our services and how we can assist you with your financial planning, call Lewis Financial Management in Raleigh. Our number is 919-872-7000. That's 919-USA-7000. And, of course, we're not in the office today because we're here at the station, but you can leave your phone number. We'll be happy to call you this week and see if you'd like to schedule an appointment or if we can send you some information.
You know, Lynn, just as an aside, has it occurred to you that we're starting to see a different kind of client come to us? More and more younger ones are coming for financial advice. Have you noticed that recently?
Yes, indeed. And I'm very proud of all these young couples and young professionals that are coming and looking at financial planning earlier in life.
They have a certain magic, if I can use that term, a certain magic that can work to help them achieve their financial independence that the older clients don't have.
Well, they have time.
Time. Time is the thing that makes compound rate of return become magical. And you don't have to take high risks when you have that kind of time. And I'm really happy for the 30-year-olds and the 40-year-olds that are coming to seek financial advice.
Let's take another caller, Doug.
Hi, Ed. How are you this evening?
A couple questions.
Go ahead.
Real quick before my phone pops off, and maybe you can answer over the air.
All right.
I have a portfolio of stocks.
Right.
They're all long-term gain stocks, which I don't think that makes much difference anymore. If I sell and take the losses, how long do I have to wait before I can reinvest in the same stocks?
Yeah, you got to. The wash rule. I think, seems like it's 31 days is the wash rule. I'd have to look that one up for you.
Okay, can I buy other stocks other than those?
Yes, you can.
Immediately.
Yes, you can.
Okay.
You can do that. As a matter of fact, we do that very often in mutual funds. We go into a family and we move out when we're taking a loss and move into another fund in the same family.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, second question. Well, actually, it may be three.
Matter of fact, let me give you my office number if we run out. 872-7000.
Okay.
And call me if we run out tomorrow or whatever, and I'll help you if we run out of time. Go ahead.
Okay, next question. I have a North Carolina Mutual, North Carolina Municipal Bond.
Right.
I have approximately, well, I ain't going to get into that. I got quite a few.
And well, I don't know your last name. Tell me what you're talking about.
$500,000.
Okay.
Okay. If that's the only income I have during the year, other than dividends from my stock portfolio, do I have to pay an alternative minimum tax?
the AMT on tax
free? My income from the non-taxable income off those bonds will be approximately $40,000. Do I still have to pay it's all tax-free theoretically, but do I have to pay the alternative minimum tax?
I want to hedge on that one. You have to call me on that one. I think, off the top of your head. Well, because I run them through my computer, I do financial plans for folks, and I see that happen, but I'm trying to picture how it comes out at the bottom.
Uh-huh.
I'll research that one for you. You didn't used to, but I think they changed something on that. I think you might.
In other words, for tax-free income, you really can't do it.
Yeah, but I can show you ways that you can do it. You can get tax-free income other ways than that.
Okay.
Give me a call, and I'll see I'll look that one up for you, and I'll see what I can recommend.
All right.
Thanks a lot for calling, Ed.
Thanks a lot.
All right.
You've been listening to Money Matters with Doug and Linda Lewis. Money Matters provides you with a personal financial hotline on any subject where money really matters. For more information, you can call Doug and Linda in Raleigh at 872-7000. That's USA 7000. Listen again next Sunday at 6:05 for Money Matters with Doug and Linda Lewis on 680 WPTF.